So we had about a week of learning in two Marmakomo sheets. One was the case of Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah, and one was the case of Shofar Shel Ir HaNidachat. So the Gemara had said that when it came to the Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah, that you're not supposed to blow Lo Yitka, but if you do, somehow you are Yotza. Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah Lo Yitka Vim Taka Yotza. So again, whenever you see something like this, immediately two related questions pop into your mind. Right? What's the problem? Why shouldn't you do it? And why is it good b'di'evit? If whatever the reason you shouldn't do it is, so why is it good b'di'evit? Right? Those are just two important questions you have to ask whenever you would see a line like that. Continues the Gemara, b'shofar shel nidachat lo yitka v'imtaka lo yatza. Right? So here all of a sudden we notice that yir nidachas is worse. My taima, yir nidachas ketute mikta shi'urei. So we have this new concept. Maybe you're familiar with it, but it was new to our Gemara. And if you've never heard of it, then it's certainly new. Of kitute mikta shiura, that somehow the shiur, the specific measurement, the minimal measurement of a shofar, which we've seen a daf ago, at Fort Tzvachim, enough that you can hold it and blow it, that is somehow cut down. Kitute mikta shiura, it's cut down because it is what? We don't know yet in the Gemara. That's going to be Rashi and the Rishon I'm going to step in. So what I'd like to do is not give two independent chaburas, because we don't have time for both. But what I'd like to do is not focus on everything you guys might have seen or everything I put on the Makarot sheet, but specifically to focus on one or two basic things in Avodah Zarah, but then to hone in on something which is the bridge between the Avodah Zarah case, as it's understood by some of the Rishonim that you saw, and Kitute Mikta Shiurei. Now again, Kitute Mikta Shiurei could easily be a Shir Klali, or even, you know, 2 or 3 days of a morning Seder Shir. We're obviously not doing that. It's a major Shas topic. But Chaval, if we don't walk away with at least a basic understanding of the Machlokas Rishonim, the Chakira, and even a sense of a Nafkamina. And since one of the Nafkaminas is our Gemara, so I think we are in a good location. So first of all, as I mentioned, Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah. Don't do it, but if you do it, it's okay. So what is going on? What's the problem? So Rashi, the other Rishonim, tell us that the issue seems to be because Avodah Zarah is an Isur Hana. How come it's good? Because this is based on the Machlokas, which we saw above, which Yitzhinam will be alluding to, of Mitzvos Lav Lehenos Nitnu. Since we assume that Mitzvos are not for Hana, whatever that exactly means, so even though Avodah Zarah is Asur Bahana, so you can't use the Shofar Shel Avodah as a bugle, perhaps, but you, or something else, or to hit your brother with it or something like that. That gives you a lot of Hana, probably. But you can use it for the purpose of a mitzvah, because mitzvahs, Lav Lehenos Nitnu. In that case, well, why then B'di'evit is it not good? I mean, why L'chachila, excuse me? Why not do it L'chachila? So what did Rishonim say? Ma'is. So somehow, fascinating, even though there's no Hana, disgusting, it's not appropriate. It's, you know, as my Bubby would have said, if I'd misbehaved, it's pasnish, it's like it's beneath you. There's something, it's just not appropriate. It's just something rubs us the wrong way. You shouldn't use something like that for the mitzvah. Now, on a technical note, but, you know, important to get the technical stuff right too, even though it's not the exciting part, what is the case of Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah? What's the case? So this is actually Machlokas Rashi and Ritva, if you notice, right? Rashi says, what did you do with the shofar that makes it a, quote, Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah? What does Shimshu mean? Excellent. What does that mean, though? You used the shofar to worship some other idol. The idol was Buddha. The idol was whatever. But you blew the shofar as a worship. Now, I want to point out, in case you saw this in the Ritva, I did put this on the sheet, and I don't know if anyone got confused by this. Shimsha is not the same thing as Tikroves. Tikrovet Avodah Zarah is if you would have offered the shofar as an actual korban. Now, no one would probably do that. What it means is if you offered an animal, an isle that has a shofar as a korban, and after you slaughtered the Avodah Zarah, you separated the horn and then wanted to use it as a... That's called Tikrovet Avodah Zarah. And there, the Rishonim put out that that's worse. That's not... The Gemara wasn't talking about that. That is totally not good, even b'di'evit. Why Tikrovet is worse... That's just beyond the scope of our 30 minutes. But that I can give you a taz and yoradeh if you want. That's a discussion. But that, I'm just saying, you shouldn't be confused. There's two separate things. One is shamesh avodah zarah, but then there's a specific form of worshipping, and that's called the karbon. So it's kind of like lahavdil of alfei avdalos. So it's like the Leviim doing their song and dance in the base of Megdash, and then there's the kohanim bringing a karbon. Right? In theory, you could use, the shofar could be one or the other. They're not the same thing, even though they're both, quote, service or worship. Okay, that's, But all of this should be contrasted with the day that's quoted in the Ritva, that said, what's the case of shofar shel avodah zarah? Not that you're using the shofar to serve the avodah zarah, but rather, it is the avodah zarah. You're worshiping it. You made it into the avodah zarah. I don't think it matters. It's a good question, but I don't think it matters. Note that in case you see that, if you find out that I'm wrong, but I don't think it matters. I think you're worshiping it. So again, I don't have any big lumdus to say about this. If you remember a few weeks ago when we were having our vote and someone threw up Avodah Zarah, and I mentioned that at least I had gotten a firm handle on any good lumdus in Avodah Zarah, and then I said I felt better because I heard Rav Rosenzweig once said that he was disappointed when he learned Avodah Zarah, that it was all very technical, but he still learned the whole thing, for the record. He didn't stop in the middle, but anyway, I digress. And that was the whole Masechta, but anyway, I'm just kidding. So I don't have any big lumdus in that. If someone has any good svara for that distinction or why the Ritva would prefer that or Rashi would prefer that, I would actually love to hear it. I don't have it. I just think that it's such a basic question from the definition of the sugya. When you're learning a sugya, not everything is going to, you know, coalesce into some great lumdus, but you have to organize it. You have to be able to kind of, you know, analyze and categorize the sugya. So the first basic question is, what are we talking about? And if you see a machlokes Rashi and Ritva, you have to note that. Okay? That's all. That's all number one. Now, in terms of the issue of ma'is, so if you saw in the Ritva, when is it ma'is? What are we talking about? Is it before bitul or after bitul? Right? Excellent. So according to the Ritva here, the halacha that of our Gemara, which is what? If I would just give a headline of the maskan of our Gemara, l'chachila don't do it, but if you did it, right, that's it, right? Bidyev, halachila, you shouldn't blow the shofar. Lo yitka. But if you did it, you're yotze. When are we talking about, according to the Ritva? Including even after bitul. Now, did anyone, what are the keys, especially if you are learning a Ritva, what's underneath the Ritva? The footnotes. Anyone note the footnotes if you have a Mosad or a Kug Ritva? It's just important. Again, I do, yes. I've recommended this more than once.
Sorry, can I ask a question after?
Yeah, in 1 minute. Okay, just anyone catch what the Ritva in the footnote pointed out?
Just the, what's it called? Even the ones that, what's it called, that quote other sources and they're just describing.
Again, that part of what you'll, through your whole life, but especially this year, what you're trying to, a skill you're trying to acquire is learning either A, how to skim. That's a very important skill. Lahavdil, it'll help you in college too. But I'm saying, or medical school and whatever. In other words, you're always going to have more to read than you want to be, than you're going to be able to absorb. And time, or that you have time for. That's going to be true in learning and other areas of life. So learning how to skim is very key. Once you've read everything, learning how to decide what's important, what's not, is maybe the most important skill you'll get in learning the rest of it. So that includes something like the footnotes. So I'm saying there's always gold mines there, always. Not everything is. So I would say use your judgment. Or the more you see, the more you'll refine your judgment. So I'm just pointing out something that's very interesting. Which is then, and we're about to get to the really important part in a second, but that's just to me again. If you have that Ritva and you see this, so you'll note this because it's interesting. So in the footnote, they pointed out that the Shaar Etzion caught a stira in the Ritva. And it's a very interesting question. A few of you answered me, I think, correctly. That in our Gemara, the Ritva said, even Bidyaved after Bitul, even Lechachila, excuse me, after Bitul, you shouldn't do it. Our Gemara that says it's only good b'diavad meant even after bitul. The Ritva in Sukkah, this is all in the footnotes. You don't have to be the Abaki and Shas to find this. You just have to, again, learn how to follow the footnotes. The Ritva points out in the footnotes, that the Ritva there in Sukkah seems to contradict himself. Because there, he says, when is lacharchila not to blow? Before bitul. But after bitul, there doesn't seem to be any problem. There's the ma'us factor. Is it before bitul or after bitul? Very interesting. Very, very interesting. Do you say once you've done bitul, it's totally lecharchila okay? Or no? That seems to be the Ritva in Sukkah. Or as you said, Arya said before, in our Gemara, the Ritva says, even after bitul, it's only bidyevet. So again, I'm only aware of that. I'm telling you my secrets. I'm only aware of that because I saw that in the footnote. Then I can look it up. But I'm like, that's how I found out about it. So just a little ha'arale, keep in your back pocket. Maybe that, I'm not going to be miyashiv how one Ritva could say both, but that question of what makes more sense, would you say that after bittul it's still b'di'eved? Or maybe after bittul it should even be l'chachila? Maybe, I'm suggesting maybe that's totally in how bittul works. Right? We have a concept of bittul in kashrus. We have now this phenomenon of bittul. And for now, I'm going to assume that they're analogous, if not identical. Right? You will drop a little bit of milk in the cholent. Right? Don't do that. But if you did, and you quickly ran and asked Rav Mordechai or whoever, you know, what do I have to do? Do I have to throw out the whole cholent or not? So the answer is it depends on the proportion, right? You know this halacha? Right? If there's shishim, that's if. In other times, if, let's say it's just dry, let's say there's just pieces of salami that get mixed up. So even just rove sometimes is enough. That could be bitul, right? Sometimes we say, it could be bitul barov, bitul bashishim. Something is nullified. So how does that work? What's happening there? So this, anyone know, everyone learn that sugya? This is a very famous, important machlokas rishonim, how that works. And b'kitzur, you could say it the following. Is bitul a hanhaga? Or is it a shinoi mitzius? Is it magic? That halachically, with our halachic glasses, we view the molecules, it's transformed, and the isur is now nehapach liot hater, the shinoi in the mitzius. Or is it a hanhaga? We know that there's treif somewhere in there. We know there's a problem. But the halacha is that when it's in such small proportion, I'm allowed to act as if it's not there. That's a classic question in the laws of bitul. So maybe, I'm just suggesting, maybe, I didn't see this anywhere, but maybe, that relates to this stira in the Ritvas. If you hold that the bitul of avodah zarah is mamash a shinui in the mitzius, so what would that lead you to conclude about our shofar case? It should even be l'charchila, like the Ritva apparently in Sukkah says. I ain't the footnote. But if you hold that bitul is just a hanhaga, we're allowed to treat it as if it's not there. But we know it's there. So then you could see this kind of musari idea. It's still not the right thing to do. Come on, it's still mos. You're going to take this thing which you know had was used to serve avodah zarah, even if you were mevatel it, but it's still there. Didn't change. It is what it is. We all know. So that's just a suggestion. Okay? Yes?
You can also say the exact opposite. Even right, if it's a bittul, it's an haga, right? Then the halakha tells you, no matter what we're talking about right now,
act as if it's not there.
Act as if it's not there. But when we're talking about it, some kind of
right. So I think hypothetically you could say that. I'm cheating because I'm using what I know is what the Rishonim say in Yoredeya. In other words, the classic question is, right, if I have three pieces of meat, all dry, it's called Yavesh B'Yavesh, two kosher, one non-kosher, and they get confused. So it's Batal Barov. So what does that mean? So some Rishonim say you can only eat them separately, but eventually you can eat all three. And some Rishonim say you could even eat them bevas achas, which is really an unbelievable chiddush. So the way they, if you medayik and the Rishonim who say you could eat them bevas achas, they seem to say it's like a shinoi in the metzias. You know,
I'm saying the chiddush of avodah zarah, not
right. I'm saying fair enough. I'm just saying whichever way you hold, like what I just said or Noam said, it's important to know that the steer is out there, and it was accessible just in the Rishonim on the daf. If you were looking in the footnotes, you would find it. Number one, but number two is, it's important to think about what might be that machlokas about. So I think it relates to the nature of bitul. Whether I'm right, Noam's right, or there's a third pshat, I think that's where to go on it. Yeah?
What is the bitul by the avodah zarah?
So I think, as far, that's not the best word to use in this context, but what I imagine, or what I understand it to mean, is that anything, I'm not an expert in hilchos avodah zarah, but I think it's any action that you do which demonstrates that you no longer view this as avodah zarah. I'm saying it that way because I think that thinking it is not enough. You don't have to like, there's no tekes. But if you start using it for something else, yeah.
Why is there between a avodah zarah from a non-Jew and for a Jew?
It's a great question. Right, that's like a big avodah zarah question. Maybe we'll talk about that after the chavur. But it's a very interesting question, very intriguing, right? Very intriguing. Yeah.
Well, I understand that you can't do bitul.
Yes, we're about to get to that.
The bitul here must be done by a goy.
We're about to get to that. Okay, well, that's the question. Is, well, anyway, we're going to get to it in a second. You'll tell me if I answer your question. Yeah.
Well, did you say bitul also works the same way as me'ila?
Whoa, you got to ask Yitzi, they know all those questions. They're the Mi'ilah experts. How does it, but what do you mean by that in all seriousness? What do you mean?
Well, we said the milah transfers it to a cooling object afterwards, so therefore it
changes its status.
Time. So the here, even though it changes it,
it's parallel. Better. It's parallel.
Right.
But it's interesting. It's not just parallel. It's inverse, because one is taking avodah zarah and changing its status. One is taking hekdesh and changing its status. Right? So I don't think they're not the same thing. But there,
he says also the ritual says when he says b'diavad, when he's talking about intakel yasam, that's only before bittul, not after bittul.
No, that's exactly the question I asked before. I think in our ritva,
yeah,
I understood it. I think the way Aryeh said before that he's saying even after bittul it's b'diavad. No, I think he was saying that even after bittul, so b'diavad imtaka yatsa, you're yotze b'diavad. Whereas I think again according to the footnotes, the ritva in sukkah says no, after bittul it's even l'chachila. And the only b'diavad was before bittul.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's get to the heart of the matter, which will just help us get to the final part of the shir of kitute, which is the big question that Tosfos here doesn't answer, but Tosfos asks. Right? Tosfos refers you to the mammoth Tosfos in Sukkah, but the Tosfos here points out that our Gemara is a beferish stira with the Gemara in Chulin. There's a Gemara in Chulin, right, that you don't have to get like scared that you're like back in a Chulin world again. Cold sweats from Kaitzman. The Gemara there has a virtually identical Braisa, exactly like our Gemara, and there it has the exact opposite conclusion. Shofar shel avodah zarah, you're not yotze. Period. None of this imtaka yatza, l'chachila b'dieved. The Chulin says you're not yotze. Right, there's that Braisa is in Yavama, but it's a Gemara Chulin. So Tosfos raises the question, right? And Tosfos doesn't really answer it, but Tosfos sends you to the Tosfos in Sukkah. But the answer that the Tosfos in Sukkah gives is the answer that the Ritva gives, and all the Rishonim give pretty much the same answer, virtually, except for Rabbeinu Tam, but I don't think we're going to have time for Rabbeinu Tam tonight, if you saw him. But everyone but Rabbeinu Tam says, what's the answer? This is what was bothering Tai, you anticipated it. What's the distinction? Whose Avodah Zarah is it? Gemara and Chulin and other places. It's talking about Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, which is not subject to Bittul. Because it's not subject to Bittul, and here comes our segue, therefore, it's considered, it's Omei L'Sreifa, because what are you supposed to do with the Avodah Zarah of a Jew? You're supposed to burn it? Because it's going to be burnt. It's already now worthless. Kitute Mektas Shiura. However, this is what all the other Rishonim, Bar Rabbeinu Tam, formulated. When it comes to the Avodah Zarah of a Goy, then, since it could become batel, here's my careful non-Rabbeinu Tam formulation, since it could become batel, therefore, even before you're mevatel it, because it could be rescued, al-yidei bittel. You didn't rescue it yet, but it could be rescued. Therefore, it's not great, but it's not omid l'sreifa, because it's not necessarily omid l'sreifa, because you could mevatel it. Therefore, right now, it's not kitute miktas shiura. Okay, that is the answer that all of the Rishonim give. If it is a guy, that's our Gemara, still a chadchila not to do, because of Mos. B'dieved, if you did it, since it could become batel, therefore it's not kitute miktas shiura, therefore it wasn't worthless, and therefore it's okay. As opposed to if it's an Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, so there it's not subject to Bittul, therefore it's already worthless, therefore Kitute Mekdesh Shura, it's no good. Now, the segue, which to get to the last part of the shir, where I want to just give you a little bit of a dash of the Kitute Mekdesh Shura Lomdus, because it goes back to our Gemara, is what comes out, then according to our Gemara, is that when is a case where we do say Kitute Mekdesh Shura? So in our Gemara, it only quoted it about Yirani Dachas. But according to all those Rishonim, there's a second hidden place in our Gemara where Kitute comes up. Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael. Excellent, Ari, right? So just let's note that as a punchline. It comes out according to our Gemara, the way the Rishonim resolve our Gemara with Gemara Chulin, that according to our Gemara, it comes out that Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, you could not blow such a shofar. Why not? Kitute Mektas Shura. Everyone got that? I mean, I hope you got the first part too, but in order to get the last part of this year, that's just a bottom line. It didn't say that in the Gemara. You could read the Gemara 100 times, you never see it. You only realize it if you the Rishonim, that's how they're Miyashev, Again, unless you held like Rabbeinu Tam, which we don't have time to get into now. But unless you held like Rabbeinu Tam, that's what comes out for our Gemara. Yes, Noam? Correct.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying it's not in the Gemara.
Yerni
Dachas is a unique halacha. You'll see why I'm making distinction in a minute, okay? Give me a minute, you'll see why I'm making that distinction. It's not that you're wrong, but there's still something different about them. You'll see why in a second, okay? So now let's get to Ira Nidachas and Kitute Miktas Shiura. So, first of all, right away, we have to ask ourselves something which we actually saw earlier in the year. Kala Ome Lisrof Kisar of Dami. It sounds like they're the same thing, almost identical concepts in halacha. Right? Who on our daf reinforces that assumption? Rashi. Excellent. Because Rashi doesn't just say, because it's got to be burnt, therefore it's nothing now, or therefore it doesn't have a shear now. Rashi doesn't say that. What does Rashi say? The hal esreifakai. Two words Rashi adds, which he did not have to add. Ukasaruf dummy. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
That's classical Kitute Mikta Shura. But the point is, you don't have to add those two words to understand our Gemara. It could have been that because the Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah is going to have to be burnt, therefore, it's meaningless now. But that would have been totally easy way to explain the Gemara. Rashi seems to go a little bit further and says, it's not only is it meaningless now, it's as if it's Saruf now. Now, why am I highlighting that? Because that, if you take that, that's a diuk. But if you take that diuk and Rashi very seriously, that sounds like the sugya of kala omei lisrof kasarof dami. And that's a famous machlokes tanaim, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim. It would mean that this Gemara is going according to which opinion? Rabbi Shimon, that holds kala omei lisrof kasarof dami. Just again, just understand context, right? If you have something that's going to be burnt, like the ashes of the paraduma, they're already considered burnt now. Why would you want, what does that help you with? Because then they can't be subject to tuma now and other things. That means that things that happen to it now before it is burnt are irrelevant because it's going to be burnt. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. The Chachamim disagree. So it would come out, according to Rashi, that our Gemara is only true according to Rabbi Shimon. Now that's a diuk, and that's like putting our Gemara like, you know, in a straitjacket. So I wouldn't want to say it if I don't have to. Especially since we don't pass on Rabbi Shimon. But that's a diok in Rabbi Shimon. And diok in Rashi, excuse me. But so maybe you could quibble, maybe I'm wrong, I'm reading too much into it. But who says it beferish? Who makes the equation beferish?
The Ritva.
The Ritva. The Ritva said it beferish. The Ritva, I put that on your sheet. The Ritva says beferish. Li'olam lo poslu alhecha de kai l'sreifa. Tahash de kitute mikta shura. Ki Rabbi Shimon! You can't get more explicit than that. So the diok that I was suggesting in Rashi, the Ritva says beferish, that it's all one and the same. But not everyone agrees. Who disagrees with that? Tosfos, which I had you take a look at. Tosfos, again, you didn't have to see the whole Tosfos. I tried to give you the relevant section. One second, you see. So Tosfos says, no, even according to the Chachamim, they're going to distinguish. Kalam and Lisrof, they don't hold like. But our Gemara or the other Gemaras in Shas, Sukkah, other places, Yevamos, of Kitut and Mekdeshira, they do say. So now we have to ask ourselves, and here's where we have our 5 more minutes to the promised land. What's going on here? What is this concept of Kitute Mikta Shura? So I think that this is the issue. According to Rashi, maybe, and for sure according to the Ritva, it is essentially a derivative, if not almost synonymous, with Kala Omid Lisrof. What is Kala Omid Lisrof? Kala Omid Lisrof basically means, you'll forgive me in honor of the occasion, Back to the Future. 30th anniversary, come on. It's from my youth. Namely, the future is now. The future is now. Kala Omid Lisrof, it's going to be burnt. That it's as if it's already burnt. The future is now. And there are other examples of that in Shas. Kala Omid Liktos, Kala Omid Litlosh, Kala Omid, there's all these Kala Omid things. Anything that's going to happen in the future, if it's going to happen in the future is now, it's as if it already happened. I look at the shofar, I says, I know it's going to be burnt into ash. It, as Rashi said, it's already kesaruf dummy. One second. However, what's the alternative? So perhaps the alternative That was just something that already said before. Somebody said this before. The alternative is to see this not as going that far, but rather not so much that we see the future, not that the future, so to speak, is now, but rather that since we know, we anticipate the future, since it's going to be burnt, it already loses its chashivut now. You know, something that has no kiyum, you know it's going to wither and fall apart soon anyway. It's not falling apart. We're not saying it's as if it's falling apart now. It's not. But it loses its significance. And that's the diuk that somebody, I can't remember, somebody here said before, it's ketute miktas, Ari maybe said it, ketute miktas shi'ura. It's not that it's nothing. Kala omed listrof kasarof dami means it's nothing now. It's already saruf. Ketute miktas shi'ura means not that it's nothing now. It's just not chashuv. So four things which, and what is a shi'ur if not measurement of chashivut? For this halacha, in order to be significant, it needs to be a beitza, it needs to be a kazayis, it needs to be four tvachim, whatever it needs to be. If something is ketute mikta shiura, doesn't mean it's nothing. It's not kasaruf tome. The future's in the future. But I know it's coming. And even though it didn't happen yet, that minimizes significantly its chashivus, its importance, its significance, even in the present. I could give six or seven afkaminas. I'll just mention one very briefly, and then I'll tie it back into our gemara, and then we're done. Classic. I put the Ran on the sheet, right? Yeah, I put the Ran on the sheet. The Gemara in Gittin says you can write a get on a piece of paper that's Asr Bahana. So the Ran asks, how could that be? Why don't we say Ketuta Mikdash Shura? And then it's as if, you know, the Otiot are Pochos Bavir. That's the Ran's bothered by that. How could you have a get on Asr Bahana?
Not all Asr Bahana.
So, even if it's the one that does, so the Ran's answer is not to distinguish between Yisra and Ah. The Ran's answer is to say Kitute Mikteshur is not a problem. Why? Because there's no inherent shiur for how big the paper is. It has to be big enough to fit the words on. You write small, it could be smaller. You write big, it could be bigger. It has to be big. There's no inherent. Now, what is that saying? That there's no shiur of chashivus of the paper. Just to be something that holds that communication of the Sefer Krusis by Noah Levena. It has to communicate the divorce. There's no chashivus of the size. It's just it's a functional thing. Therefore, says the Ran, Kitute Mikteshur is not relevant. Now that Ran only makes sense if you assume what definition of Kitute Mikteshura? That's the second one, exactly. But if you held like Rashi or the Ritva, they basically equate it with Kala Omid Lisrof, which we're explaining is because the future is now, back to the future, because I know it's going to get burnt. It's already burnt. Not that it's not important now. It's worse than that. It's nothing now. It's burnt now. So then, then he didn't answer his question. So that's one example where there may be a nafkamina. The Rush talks about a esrog of Isra Hana. There's a shear of an esrog. It's a machlokas. It could be a walnut, an egg, a beitza. But there's a shear of an esrog. So what about an esrog of avodah zara, an esrog of some kind of Isra Hana? So you for sure can't use it. But the Rosh wants to know, is it a mitzvah of aveira? Or is it ketute mikdash shur? It's okay. If you have to go, it's okay. So I'll be done in a minute, but if you have to go, you have to go. So the Rosh ends up saying a similar point, that the shear of esrog is not because of some inherent chashivus. It's just that the machlokas in the Gemara is, what level of growth do we need to know that it was mevushal lagamrei, that it's ripe. It's a simon of its ripeness. It's not. It's important in and of itself. So again, that whole question and answer of the Rosh only makes sense like Tosfos, not like. Okay. So let's. How does this relate to our Gemara? With this, we conclude. How does this relate to our Gemara? Because Tosfos and Yevamos ask on our Gemara. We said, what's the punchline of our Gemara? That what's the case where our Gemara says Shofar Shalvar Zara Lo Yitka Lachalchila, don't do it? What was that case? A case of right. What doesn't work? A shofar shel Yisrael. So says, why would a shofar shel Yisrael not work? Because of ketuta mikdashura. Our Gemara, which said it's okay, is only if it's shel agai. But if it's shel Yisrael doesn't work because of ketuta mikdashura. All the Rishonim said that. Ask Tosas and Yavamis, what's the halacha, Yitzi, for avodah zarah shel Yisrael? What do you have to do with it? Gneize it, not burn it. Nikvarin. So Tosas asks, How could all the Rishonim say that our Gemara would be talking, when it, you know, or the Gemaras in Yevamos and others of Chulin that say it's no good even b'dieved? How could they say it's because of Kutut Mikashura? You're not burning it; you're only burying it. So Tosfos gives two answers. The first answer of Tosfos is not only does it count; it's better than that. He says Ein Kitute Gadol Mizeh. I don't know why that's a kavachomer, but he thinks it's a kavachomer, Tosfos. That somehow burying it is even worse than burning it. Okay, but for now, let's just call it equal. Agari said it. The second answer is Tosfos comes up with a heichatimsa, a nukimta, to somehow make it a case of shalgoi, which does have to be burnt. But let's now take a step back and ask this question, and with this we finish. Should you say kitute miktashura on something that's not burnt? Or is it only on something that you burn? Right, that's it. That's the question of Tosfos. That's the two deos in Tosfos. So Tosfos, the first opinion says, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's burnt or not. Even if it's buried, it's also kitute miktashura. The second answer seems to be avoiding that. What should that be dependent on? Uri, you've been quiet. What's the answer? What should it be dependent on? What do you think? Tosfos says, even if you're only burying it, all the classical cases in the Gemara of kitute are you burned it. Tosfos says, so what if you're only burying it? En kitute gadol mizeh. But that's not obvious, and the second day, and Tosfos seems to avoid that. So what should that question be based on? L'chore, it's all the same point. If you hold that kitute mikteshura is back to the future is now, it's mamish kisaruf, so then I don't think kavura is the same thing at all. It's not a kavachomer. If anything, it's the opposite. Whatever you want to say about burying, but it doesn't destroy an object the way burning does. The fact that Tosfos is willing to equate, if not even make a kavachomer, but to at least equate burning and burying, maybe it's based on this idea of chashivos, that once you're already burying it, so then mali burying, mali burning it, it's going to be out of use. We're indisposed of its usage. So if that's going to happen in the future, Kitute Mikteshura tells us it's already not important now. Not that it's nothing now, but it's already not important now. If you're going to tell me that it means that it's nothing now, I could see saying that, no, that's limited to if you're burning it, because burning actually makes it nothing. But just because you're burying it, how does that make it nothing? So that's an example. Again, I think you see that bridge. This is the bridge between the two sugyas of Shofar Shel Avodah Zarah and Shofar Shel Ein Li Dachlas. Again, Kitute Mikteshura is a much bigger topic, a kind of a Shas topic, but I think hopefully you got a little bit of a flavor of it and how working through the Rishonim, you can work back to see how that kind of global Chakira works into our Gemara as well. All right, Yeshe Koyach, everybody. We'll be...